Have you been enjoying these? They've been fantastic. I don't know when I've enjoyed hearing the Word anymore. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's give Him all the glory. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 I was praying about these days, having something like this. I was asking the Lord, you know, it's one of those times you feel the favor of God. And I said, Jesus, can't you just come in the flesh and teach for a week? You know, He said, I said, would you come in May and teach for a week? He said, well, I'd love to, son. Bronk, he just calls me by name. But he said, I'm, you know, busy running the church. And the Father, you know, the Father, he's got me really busy getting ready to come back. You know, He's got something every day. He said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll send the next best thing. He said, I'll send you Gary Carpenter. I said, that will do. Hallelujah.
I feel like repenting. Lord, have mercy. Like I said last night, I want to hear this guy. Who is this guy? Hallelujah. Well, I've been having a good time. Y'all can tell I've been having a good time, right? Tell you what a wise man said, if you find your calling, do what you love, you'll never work a day in your life. And that is the truth. That is the truth, you know. And I'm so glad I found what He's called me to do. Again, before we get started tonight, I want to remind you again of this document that's available for you free at the website, garycarpenter.org. They may put a link to it at bronkflint.org. But what it is, it's called the In Him Confessions. And how you get it, if you go to our website, garycarpenter.org, and you click on the media page, then that takes you to a list of options, and one of those is the printed materials. That's the one you want. And you'll find quite a few files there in PDF format. And you can download it. You can afford it. It's free. What we did, we took all of the scriptures, there's 130 or so of them, that talk about who you are in Him, in Christ, in whom, in the Beloved, by Him, by His blood. It's on and on, all about 130 some odd of them. We have those scriptures all printed for you there. Then also we went one more step. We took each scripture and we made it into a present tense, now confession. Because ultimately we're called to renew our mind. God has done for us what we couldn't do, free by grace. He has changed our nature. He has given us a new nature. But we are called to renew our mind, to take what His Word says, especially like last night's message about Abram, the simple faith of Abram. Abram was just simple enough to believe what God said. When God changed his name and said, you are the father of a multitude, He says, that's what I want you to call yourself from now on. Abraham was just foolish enough to do that. It's foolish, okay? To the world, it sounds crazy to start calling things that be not as though they were. Here he's 99 years old. His wife's about 90. They have a history of no children, you know. Medical science would say at the time that, I mean, that she's passed the way of women and he's not such a hot rod anymore himself. And medical science says it's impossible, see? But God, with God, nothing is impossible. I'm so glad that he studied the Greek of the Greek. Went to the Koine, went to the tenses and the verbs, and he found out that nothing means nothing is impossible. So Abram changed his name to Abraham. Every time he said who he was saying what God said about him. I am the father of a multitude. That releases the power of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is the molecule changer. He is the one he's the enforcer. Sue likes to. He's the one that manifests the Word of God. God the Father conceives everything. God the Word speaks everything. But the Holy Spirit was the one waiting. He was the one brooding over the face of the deep and over the dark. He knew God wanted light. He knew it. He's all-knowing. He's God as much as the other two. But he wasn't doing anything about it until he heard, "Light be." And then light was. When he hears God's word coming out of your mouth, that's what he's waiting for, to manifest the Father's will in your life too. Did y'all enjoy that? Thank you very much. That right there will change your life. If you'll get God's word in your mouth and speak it the same way Abram did, it'll change your life. I don't care what it is you need. His hand is not shortened that he cannot save. He still heals. He still delivers. He still knows how to. Now, he may not send a fish with a gold coin in its mouth, but he still knows how to get money to you. Yes. Amen. And he knows your address. He knows right where you are. So let me just do one for you tonight. I think it's good. I want to practice these things. Now, if you're here and you say, "Internet, websites, I don't do those things." There is a teenager on your block who for $10 will just, it's just the easiest thing in the world. They'll download it, print it for you, and you'll have it in just a few seconds. And so there are no excuses, okay? Now here's one. You don't need to turn here. It's just Ephesians 1:6. And it says, "To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved." Now let's say that in a present tense confession. Say it after me. Jesus is the Father's beloved Son.
Jesus is the Father's beloved Son.
And I am accepted in him.
And I am accepted in him.
In Christ,
I am accepted in the beloved.
In Christ,
the Father calls me
his beloved Son also.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. See, this is a family. Again, where we get mixed up is any time we start thinking we're in a religion. Religion will make you crazy. Religion is nuts. Family, if you think about it like family, we're in the greatest time of life now. We're grandparents. It's the greatest season. We have our little lily cakes. We love all of our grandchildren, but she's the youngest one. She's 5. She's going to be 5, actually, in August. And that little girl, I'm telling you, you talk about accepted. You talk about accepted in the beloved. I mean, that girl, now I teach the love of God, but God help you if you do anything to harm my granddaughter. I'll smack you in love, I'm telling you, so quick. I mean, she's accepted. That's right. Hallelujah. Amen. That's good preaching right there. You talk about accepted. Now, does that mean that I don't see any faults or any flaws or anything? I mean, I love her little lisp that she has right now. She has a little trouble with her L's, you know. One day I fixed her a great big old sloppy, messy chocolate ice cream cone. Man, I'm enjoying her eating that cone more than I would eating it myself. And I'm just watching her. Man, she's just got delight. And she sees me watching her eat that cone. So she comes over to me and she goes, "Papa, would you yike a yito yik?" I mean, that means everything to me that she would offer me a yito yik of her ice cream cone, you know. And I think it's adorable and I love it. But I don't really want her talking that way when she's 30. You know, we're going to have to help her. And this is a family. We're going to talk about that very thing tonight. In fact, go ahead and open up to Hebrews chapter 12. We're going to talk about God, your tutor, tonight. God, your tutor. He didn't trust you to an angel. I thank God for all the offices in the body. I thank God for Pastor Bronk and Pastor Dave Roberson. I thank God for all of the ministry gifts. But ultimately, God didn't really trust you to a human. He didn't trust you even to an angel. He says, "No, their tutoring, their training is so important. I'm only going to trust that to another family member, and that's God the Holy Ghost." You think you might make it if God would personally take it upon himself to be your personal, private, individual tutor? You think he might have a shot of making it then? Well, that's exactly what he's done. Now, we're going to get into... Okay, we'll do it like this. For years and years... Oh, first off, who is here? This is your first night of the conference. Anybody? Okay, we're going to do a quick little short review, okay? For years and years, Hebrews 11 was my favorite chapter in the Bible because it had all my heroes of faith in it. I mean, Noah, Abraham, Moses, King David, Samson, Barak, Jephthah, and there's women in there too. You know, there's Ruth and others. Sarah, who herself received strength to conceive seed, you know. And I'm going, yes. And see, really, Sue and I have lived by faith, and we've known others that live by faith. And by faith, Noah, by faith, Abraham. Well, you could say by faith, Gary, by faith, Sue. We've had victories also, patterning ourselves after the faith of these people. And for years, if I could only have one chapter in the Bible, what is faith? Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. Verse 6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. He that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. I mean, I love that chapter. I lived in that chapter, and we've had victories. I mean, the doctors gave me 6 months to live in 1990. And if it hadn't have been for knowing the faith, and that kind of faith, the faith of Abraham, the faith of Noah, and how to apply that, I never would have made it to even learn there was a Dave Roberson on the earth. We didn't find him till 92. So we thank God for all the victories of faith. And then just within the last year or two, all of a sudden, the last couple of verses came alive in me. Let's look at it in your Bible. So back up into chapter 11, verse 39. And these all who? Noah, Abraham, Moses, all of them that are listed. These all, having obtained a good report through faith, they received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. And it dawned on my lightning quick mind, wait a minute. Not one of these men was born again. I mean, they loved God. They served God. I'm not going to do it tonight, but what we've been doing as a visual demonstration, we've had a chair on this side of the platform, and a chair on this side of the platform. This one represents the line of Adam and Eve. We've been going back to Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. You don't have to turn there tonight. This is a good review for all of us now. God's original plan for man was to make man in His image. We looked at it several times. Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27, three times in two consecutive verses, the Holy Ghost repeats Himself. In the image of God made He man. And it even mentions Eve there, made He them. God's original plan for earth. Earth was not made like it is now. Earth was not made with a curse on it. Earth was made perfect. God made this and He made that and He made this and He looked and everything was good. Remember, once He had everything just the way He wanted it, then He made man. Well, what kind of humans did He intend to make? He made humans made in the image of God. Hebrews 1:3 gives you the definition of the image of God. Jesus Christ is the brightness of His glory. And Jesus is the express image of His person. Now, I told you about the vision that I had all those years ago, praying in the Holy Ghost. We all know that God took the dust of the ground and made Adam's body. Then it says God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and Adam became a living soul. One time in a vision form, praying in the Holy Ghost, I saw the second member of the Godhead, what we would call the pre-incarnate Christ, the Word who has always been. I saw it was Him, the one that we know now as Jesus, but it was before He was incarnate. It was Him. He was holding that lifeless body. And I saw it just as plain. He was the one that He breathed life. It wasn't oxygen He breathed into Adam. He was breathing of His own nature. He was His own spirit, His own life. Man was made in the image of God. Now, God wasn't making another God, but it was making a man in the image of God. That means a man that could walk uprightly. Man and woman both. Now, as I say man, I mean mankind. Man and they could walk above sin. They could choose. They could say no. They didn't even have fallen bodies like we had. They had glorified bodies, and they lived in a perfect world. This week, we've gone through the fall. Y'all know what happened. The tempter came, deceived Eve. But Adam, he made a choice. It wasn't based on deception. What he chose to do when Eve ate of the apple, or whatever the fruit was, we don't know really what it was, when she ate, he was standing there next to her, the Bible says, and he was watching. He was watching to see if she fell dead. Because God had said, the day you eat thereof, you'll surely die. And the devil said, you'll not die. He was watching. She didn't die. And he decided, I've got to make a decision. I've got to make a judgment here. God said that we'd die. But everything that I see, all of my physical senses, there she is. He couldn't see that she died spiritually. He says, I've got to make a choice. God said she'd die. The devil says she won't die. She ate it. All of my faculties, what I see, what I touch, what I feel, what I hear, tells me God's word is not true. And what the enemy, well, he didn't know it was the enemy, what the serpent said is true. He chose not to believe the word of God, and he says, give me that fruit. That's why sin is laid at his feet. He made a judgment based on what he could see, what he could touch, what he could feel. Let's say it this way. Lack of faith in God's word and believing in what you could see was the way out of the garden. It was the way out of all the blessings of God. That's why the just shall live by faith and not by sight. We have to believe God's word no matter what we see, no matter what we feel, no matter how our perceptions are. God's word is true no matter what it looks like. Living by faith is the only way back into, if you'll allow me, God's garden or all the blessings of God back into Christ. Well, but we know what happened. Adam and Eve, they got changed in their nature. They went from being in this image of God to something different. They were twisted and perverted in their nature. They sinned and they couldn't stop sinning, even though they would try. And that sin nature was passed down generation. So we got a whole line of people. Every generation, doesn't matter what color, you know, Eve is the... I had these two young men stand up on either side and says, can't you see the family resemblance? Because Eve is the mother of all living, even of the of physical, you know. But that whole line, all the way down through time, up until Jesus, they were all had that sin nature. And it dawned on me, my heroes of faith in Hebrews 11, Moses, Abraham, David... Man, if anything, they became even more my heroes when I realized, man, they believed God. They rose above that sin nature enough to do what they did, and they changed their generation based on their faith in the Word of God. But they did it with old covenant, or let's say it this way, they did it with Adamic, with an Adamic nature. That's the faith they were operating by. And they're called heroes. But these all, they died in faith, having received not the promise. We are not in that line. Now, I had pastor, you don't have to do it tonight, I had pastor come here and represent Jesus. You young ministers, anytime you're in another man's church, always make the pastor Jesus. Don't ever make the pastor the devil. Anyway, Jesus stood here. And we had another man representing the Father over here on this side. So we got the fallen Adamic line here. You had saints and sinners in that line. You got Nimrod, who was not so good. And then you've got Moses and Abraham and all these others that were. But it didn't matter whether you could love God and you're in this line of the fallen line of Adam. You could love God and you could see God over here and you worship God. And I want to come to you, Father. I want to come over here. But there was no way they could get there until Jesus came. And Jesus is the bridge on the cross. That's why he says, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And you had to come through and identify with, you died in Christ the day you received Him, whether you know it or not. You died that day in Christ. You were buried with Him, the Bible says, but you were also quickened to new life. When you emerged on the other side, you are not even of the same species anymore. Jesus has now become your Adam. He has, for all practical purposes, He has breathed His own nature into you again. For you, it was Genesis all over again. He took that dead, lifeless spirit. Oh, I'm not looking at anybody on purpose. That dead, lifeless spirit. Yeah, I am. No. And it's like He had you. You died when you received Him. He breathed your Adam. He picked you up. The last Adam. He breathed His own nature into you again. You became a living child of the living God. Father welcomed you. There was a party in heaven that day. Heaven rejoices more over one sinner that returns to the Father's house than 99 that are already there, although He's glad the 99 are there. And you become a new creature in Christ. And now, you know, that's why in 2 Corinthians 5:17 it says, if any man, it doesn't say if any man be in Christ, he's the same old creature. That's what religion says. You're just an old sinner saved by grace. No, you were an old sinner. You got saved by grace. Now you are a new creature. No wonder there had to be two covenants. Last year when I was teaching, we were really emphasizing out of Hebrews the two covenants. In fact, let's back up just a couple of chapters and we'll... But now I'm seeing so perfectly why there even more perfectly why there had to be two covenants. It's two different species. It's two different species. You've got this fallen species of Adam. There was a covenant made. Then you've got this new creatures over here. There's a new covenant. And by the way, God didn't make this covenant with you. I have a message, one of my favorite ones I've done in the last few years, and it's called The Unbreakable Covenant. You do a search at my website, you'll find it. I don't remember if it's 2010, 2011, but it's called The Unbreakable Covenant. You know why it's unbreakable? This covenant God did not make really with man. God the Father made a covenant with God the Son. Neither one of them is going to break it. If you're in the Son, you are in the covenant. That's why you can keep messing up and the covenant isn't broken like it was under the old one. God found fault with that covenant. So He made a new covenant. This one's with His Son. He's not going to break it. The Son's not going to break it. And as long as you stay in Christ, you can't break it either. Now, it doesn't. Now again, we're going to get back to family in a minute, but that's why. Look, all right. We did about 5 seminars there in 5 minutes. But anyway, that's okay. You, Hebrews 8. Look at verse 7. We got to start in verse 6. Okay, I'd like to go back to Hebrews 1:1, but let's just do it here in verse 6. But now hath He obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also He is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. But for finding fault with them, He saith, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. Because they this is why. Because they continued not in my covenant. They kept breaking it. And they couldn't help but break it because that's who they were. They had a nature. They had to keep breaking it. And I regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. Now notice, I will put my laws into their mind, and I will write them in their hearts. How does He really do that? He does it by that new nature. When He breathes that nature of Christ on the inside of you, along with that nature comes a conscience. You may never have been taught it was wrong to steal. You get genuinely born again, you know from that instant, whoops, it's wrong to steal. I always tell people, if you're here tonight and I'm saying it's wrong to steal and that's news to you, we're going to have an altar call later. You need to come and get saved. Because that's how He writes them in your heart and in your mind. His nature comes in. See, and really what His nature is? His nature is love. Love is the fulfilling of the law. If you love your neighbor, you're not going to steal from him. You're not going to commit adultery with his wife. You're not going to lie to him. You're not going to do any of those things. Why? He has written his law. His law is the law of love. It manifested in the old covenant as the Ten Commandments. But you just learn to love. You let his love flow through you. You're not going to break any commandments. Because love works no ill to his neighbor. Well, let's go on here now. He says, I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts. I will be to them a God. They shall be to me a people. They shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. In other words, it's not my job to have to come tell you it's wrong to steal. It's not my... If you're born again, I don't have to bring 10 commandments written in stone. If you're born again, He's already written them in your heart. I don't have to tell you. You know. And if you don't know, you need to get born again. For all shall know me from the least to the greatest. Now notice, Well, if you want to hear good news, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Only God could make that statement. See, apparently he has the capacity to do that. See, I have the capacity to receive his forgiveness for my sins. But I've tried. I don't have the capacity to forget my sins. I've tried. And what's really amazing, see, God remembers them no more. Sometimes I'll have a dream and I'll wake up in a cold sweat. I'm remembering some sin that I did maybe 50 years ago. God, that's sad to say that. I'm at that age now. That hurts a little bit. Wait just a minute. I got to be healed. You love me, don't you? I'm only 33 in my spirit. Yes, okay, I'm all right, all right. But I'll wake up and I'll just feel like a slime, you know. I feel like I just did it, you know. It dawned on me one day, that is not the Holy Ghost doing that to me. That devil kept a scrapbook with pictures and everything. He's got videos of my sins that he kept. But God says, I will remember them no more. I mean, those sins that are past and are under the blood now, if God, he remembers them no more. Now, the enemy, that he's always the accuser of the brethren, he'll come and try and bring condemnation back on you from something that's been washed in the blood 25, 50 years ago. Man, anyway, we could do a whole bunch right there. But their sins and their iniquities, I will remember no more. Now, look at verse 13. I didn't get this until last year, about a year ago at the up in Ohio. In that he saith a new covenant, he hath made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. And I was meditating and I was praying. What do we call, if we had something, if you drive down the highway and there's a roadkill, it's laying there on the side of the road, now it's dead. And it's decaying, waxing old, given a little time now, it's just going to vanish away. What's he really saying there? The old covenant is dead. The old covenant is over. And now I know why. Especially for you, because that first covenant was for a different species of human. You are a new creature. You are a new species. This covenant is not for them. There is a covenant that gets them from where they are to being a new creature. But once you become a new creature, that covenant is dead to you. And you are part of the new covenant, which is based on better promises. Now we're back to Hebrews 12. So go back over there now. He's leading up to this very statement here. He says, they never received this. They were under the first covenant. They never received this promise. But for us, and look, pick it up in chapter 12, verse 40, just in case I didn't read it. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now, how are we supposed to do it? Does it say, looking unto David, looking unto Noah, looking unto Moses, looking unto Samson, looking unto Barak? No, there's only one for us really to pattern our life after, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Why is that so important? We can learn from Moses. I can learn from the faith of Noah. I've had great success learning the faith of those guys. But religion has kept us so far down below where Jesus is. We put him on a completely different plane. Like, I can't look to him as a pattern. And the truth of the matter is, this was God's plan from the beginning. His very beginning plan for man was to have man on the earth who had the nature of his Son on the inside. He's gone through, Jesus suffered everything he suffered to restore us back to that condition in our spirit. And religion says you can't have it. Religion says that's not you. Religion says you're just a slimy dog worm. You ought to be just thankful he didn't bop you on the head. Try and sneak in through the back door of heaven. Don't let him know you're coming. You know, And the truth of the matter is, you know who we really are? The story of the prodigal son. Here we come, you know, we come in, religion has taught us, I'm no more worthy to be your son. I'm a slime, I'm a worm, I've done all this and all that. He's going, I don't even remember that. The blood has washed out all away. I will remember your iniquities and sins no more. This my son, which is dead, is alive again. He was lost and he's found. And a party happens in heaven. Instead of us trying to sneak in the back door because we're so lowly, he's going, kill the fatted calf, bring a ring, put a robe on him, get the sandals on him, sound the trumpet. Let's have a party. Have my son that was lost is found again. He was dead and he's alive. And heaven's rejoicing. We're his hope in the earth. You are accepted in the Beloved. You are His lily cakes.
Yes.
He's hoping you say, would you like a Yito Yickers? He's wanting to fellowship with you. He delights in you the way we delighted, like they delight in JoJo. You want to see their eyes light up here? Just bring JoJo or one of the other grandkids in the room. All of a sudden. I mean, they're having a conversation with me and I'm a very important person. And then somebody will bring one of the grandkids in, and it's like I'm fish bait or something. All of a sudden, by now I stinketh, you know. It's like, I have no time for you. JoJo's here, you know. That's the way God is with each of us. But we've not been taught that. We are accepted in the Beloved. That doesn't mean he doesn't. Let's read the rest of it. Doesn't mean he's not wanting to grow. It's a family. Sure, he wants to grow us up and mature us. I use the extreme example, you know, when JoJo is this age. It's okay for him to make poopies in his pants. In fact, we're kind of proud. You know, I call people, JoJo made a poopy. he made a big one. You got to come see it. You know, I don't want to come see it. But it's perfectly acceptable. It's wonderful. But if JoJo is still doing that when he's 30, they're wanting JoJo to mature. They're wanting him to grow up. I love the yake yito yik thing, but I want Lily to be able to speak plainly. Okay? Now listen, God is like that with us. It's a family. It's not a religion. So look in verse 2 again. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Now, let's just stop right there for a minute. I don't want to go. We go by these verses too quick. Why is he the author and finisher of our faith when he couldn't say that about Moses? He's not the author and finisher of Moses' faith. Well, he is now, because now Jesus has gone and preached to them and they've ascended into heaven. But before then, this is why he's the author of our faith. Listen, the dispensation that we live in. Y'all do know, I mean, it ought to be obvious to everybody, we don't have our glorified bodies yet. Can we all be in agreement right there? See, but in our spirit, we've been reborn. You are already that eternal. Your spirit is never going to be more God's than it is right now. I like to say it this way. You have already started living eternally forever. Now, you're already living forever.
Hallelujah.
You got that? This time on earth is the shortest. This time on this planet is the shortest amount of time in eternity you're ever going to spend with God. You know, we've got endless ages forever to spend with God. But you are already that eternal creature. You're not going to be something else. Now, the body. So did Jesus have that same life in him? He said the Father had life in himself. He gave for the Son to have life in himself. And the Son giveth that life to whom he will. So when you get born again, you've got the same life, the same spirit. He breathed his own nature, his own life into you. So is he our pattern? Well, he's got that life of God inside. I've got that life of God inside. And see, now did he have flesh like Adam's originally? No. He has fallen flesh. We see him in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. His spirit came from God by way of the Holy Ghost. His body came from Mary. Well, Mary's flesh, you can trace it all the way back to Adam. He had the same, what the Bible calls motions of sin, the same appetites and desires in his flesh, like all the rest of it. That's why it says he was tempted in all points like we are. Tempted means tempted. See, religion will say, no, he wasn't really tempted. Well, if he wasn't, then take that verse out of the Bible. Tempted means tempted. He's wearing fallen flesh like we're wearing fallen flesh, yet without sin. So let's see. Okay, he has the life of God on the inside. He's wearing fallen flesh. So far, he's our pattern. But he was anointed. He was baptized in the Holy Ghost. Let's see. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. We've been baptized in the same Holy Ghost that he was baptized in. So let's see now, does it fit? Is he the pattern for new creatures? Got the life of God on the inside, clothed in fallen flesh on the outside. What? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Not that way now. And baptized with the same Holy Ghost. He is the author and the finisher of our faith in this dispensation. He is the author of our faith. We're in a different dispensation than Moses and Abraham. They're in the grandstands cheering and so on. They're part of that great cloud of witnesses, okay? So let's go on here now. So, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, why do you think he throws that in there, right? I mean, the suffering that he had to go through. See, I should take up the offering before I tell this part. There's sufferings you're going to have to go through. Nobody shouts every time I say that. Well, you know the primary reason why? Because we are dealing with this fallen flesh. You know, Pastor Dave recently said something I haven't heard him say ever until just recently. He says, you know, the only reason there's really a reward is because we have to do what we do while we're wearing fallen flesh. Everything else was provided free by grace. But it's up to us how much we're going to put this flesh down. Isn't that good? He said, that's really the only reason there's a reward. You got to press through that flesh. You got to overcome. And it's not just the flesh. It's all of the strongholds of the soul, the greed, and all what we call typically call strongholds. We've got to overcome all that. That's our possessing the land like the Old Testament Israel had to possess the land. And it's that overcoming warfare. That's why there is a reward. Everything else is free by grace. But we've got to fight that good fight. And he says, Jesus is the author and finisher of your faith. And we go, yes. And look at the suffering he had to endure. And we go, no. That's what he says in that same verse. He got both halves. He is the author and finisher of our faith. And look how he suffered, despising the shame. Why? He knew no matter how much he suffered. He saw, it says, for the joy set before him. What was that joy? You were that joy. And the Father's heart, as he received you, that was his joy. I'm willing to do this. I will suffer this. I will bear these agonies. I will suffer. I will bear their sickness and carry their pain. Everything on the cross, even the agonies of hell, that we can't even comprehend everything that he suffered. But it says he was willing to do it for the joy that was set before him. People, we got to have some joy set before us. We have got to understand we are on a mission from God. I should have the Blues Brothers playing right now. Bom, bom, bom. Anyway, well, we're on a mission from God. And why do we do what? Why do we fast? Why do we pray? Immokalee is saved. Immokalee is in revival. That the will of God be done in this place. That's why we do it. And there is a suffering to it. My flesh, are you kidding? It don't ever want to pray. It don't ever want to fast, for goodness sake. All it wants to do is just, let's go eat and have Krispy Kremes and movies and do all that stuff. It would rather mow lawns than pray in other tongues. Oh, the suffering. And for some of us, there's going to be martyrs probably out of this camp, out of this group right here. Somebody's going to actually lose their physical life for the joy that's set before them. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, verse 3, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. Now, I'm just going to talk real plain like we're family. Because we are. The message that Bronk teaches here, the message that I teach, the message that Jim Martin teaches, Dave Roberson is our father in the faith. I'm telling you right now, this is not a real popular message. People faint and they get weary in their minds. The biggest churches in the land right now, and I don't want to name any names, I don't have to anyway. Basically, it's based on your best life now, you know. Here's how you can receive all of the blessings and you can have the best of God. And I'm not against that. And God's not totally against that. And he does want his people blessed. He wants them happy. He wants them healed. I'm not against all that. But see, we have got a lost world. Wikipedia right now says we're somewhere between 7 and 8 billion people on the planet. Out of, let's say, 8 billion, there's a few hundred million that are genuinely born again. We got a massive harvest field. It's not about my best life now. What little time I have on this planet is about His kingdom. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will just be added to you. We have got, our life is not about my best life now. My life belongs to Him. I have been bought with a price. My life is not my own, and that's why it's telling you. Did Jesus go after His best life then? No, I must be about my Father's business. I don't care what it costs me. I don't care. He was going to finish His assignment, and the exhortation to us, sons of God, will we finish ours? And that's it. That's why it mentions that suffering in the same breath. I mean, on the one hand, it's wonderful. What is that glory that He gave us? We've been through that time and again. He said in John 17, "The glory that Thou gavest me, Father, I have given them." And I didn't know for the longest time what it meant. Pastor Dave broke it for all of us. If Arnold Schwarzenegger gave you his glory, you'd have his muscles. If the internet computer guy gave you his glory, you'd be able to hack into the FBI files. But so what did Jesus give us when He gave us His glory? He moved us from one family to another. He gave you the standing of sonship. He gave you the standing of sonship. He made you a joint heir with Himself. He said, "The Holy Spirit, He will take of mine and show it unto you." All, well, what would that be? All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, said I, He would take of mine and show it unto you. You start being about your Father's business. We was visiting with somebody this week. We was talking about $600 a month is a lot of money. I remember Sue and I, there was a long time we lived on less than $600 a month. But I'm telling you what, $600 is a lot of money. It's something to consider. But then you think, right on the other hand, how big is my God? We got to be careful how we think. We're making decisions. Well, I don't know. $600. All you got to do is find His will. And all that the Father has. I don't care if a three-legged turtle has to crawl up on your porch on the first of every month with $600 in its mouth. If you found the will of God, He will find you for provision. Yes. That either that or Jesus lied about it. Seek you first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Our job is not to worry about that. Our job is to find His plan. And that, again, I keep coming back to Hebrews 12. Because right here, He doesn't just tell us this. He tells us how it's going to happen in the same chapter. So verse 4, you have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And verse 5, here we go now. You have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of Him. For whom the Lord loves, He chastens, and scourges every son whom He receiveth. Boy, aren't those blessing verses? They are once you really look them up. That word chastening in verse 5, you look it up in Strong's. The first primary meaning of that word says tutorage. T-U-T-O-R-A-G-E. And it means to tutor. You know what God's really saying? Look, all of us started out in the line of Adam. Let's take Gary's case. I didn't get saved till I was 33, even though I was raised in church. I didn't really get saved till I was 33. So for 33 years, my mind, my emotions, my everything about me was trained to understand truth, or let's say perceive the world, by a sin nature. And I lived in a fallen world. Suddenly one day I received Jesus. And I literally get translated from the kingdom of darkness over into the kingdom of light. I literally become a new creature in Christ Jesus. My spirit, we read it in Ephesians, is created instantly in righteousness and true holiness. My spirit is great. Trouble of it is, I wish I had a big giant laundry bag, 33 years worth of laundry that my soul perceives as truth that I dragged over there with me. And I've got all this understanding. I got religion in there. I got hurts in there. I've got unforgiveness in there. I've got all this stuff in my soul. Not my spirit. My spirit is pure and righteous and holy. But I got all this junk that I brought over with me in my soul. One of those things when I got saved, I didn't know at that moment. I mean, I was taught in church growing up, Sometimes God would put sickness on you to correct you. You know, well, I had, that was in my bag. I'm telling you, it was in my bag. I thought that. I thought tongues was of the devil when I got saved. I did. I thought tongues was of the devil. I had to study it all out and make sure, because I wanted what God wanted for me, but I wasn't willing to go to hell just to speak in tongues. That's what they told me. They did. It was in my bag. It was in my... So I needed tutoring. I needed understanding. That's what he's talking about. He says, listen, don't despise the tutoring, the teaching, the training. And tutoring is so much more than teaching. I'm teaching tonight. One voice, many ears. And many, when this hits the internet, be even more ears. That's teaching. But all parents know if your child gets behind in math or English or anything, well, what do? You hire a private tutor. That private tutor, he doesn't come in and try and tailor the message to fit all the ears like I'm trying to do right now. No, that tutor comes in, and I mean it's one-on-one. His job, when he's done, your child is going to make it. The Holy Ghost, if you give him a chance, when he's done, you are going to make it. You will find your calling. If you have misunderstandings like I did, he'll change those. I was the worst. I'm so glad there's no tapes from the 80s. Man, I taught Bible studies and stuff in the 80s, and I was just a product then. I didn't know about really the teacher, the trainer, the Holy Ghost. I was just a product of the tapes and the books and the TV preachers. God bless them all. Please bless them. But I didn't know any better. Man, I was the worst one you ever heard. You're cursed with a curse. Oh, if you don't bring that tithe and that offering, and you get a hundredfold return. You know what I mean? I mean, I was strong on all that stuff. You wouldn't believe it if you... But it's true. I told Sue's own sister one time. I'm so ashamed of this. But I told her one time, I said, God himself can't help you because you don't tithe. Don't think the Holy Ghost won't straighten you out now. It was years later before I found the truth. Oh, I was mortified. You know, that my tutor came to my rescue. It took line upon line. And you know what I did later? I gave her a car. I did. I mean, not that I had to, you know. I mean, God forgave me, but I had the opportunity to do it. I told her I was wrong. I just apologized. I said, look, I was just wrong. It's not the truth. Here, have this car. And I gave her a car. It was a nice one, too. Gave her a nice car. But look what it says here about your father, whom the Lord loves. Look at verse 6. He loves you. You are his lily cakes. You are accepted in the beloved. God help somebody who comes against you. He loves you, but he's not wanting to leave you. I'm so glad he loves me too much to leave me like I am. He doesn't want to leave us like that. You know, it's cute. I mean, you like it? Would you yucky yito yik? I love that. I don't want her to stay that way. See? All right, now look. For whom the Lord loves, he chases and scourges every son whom he receiveth. He's already received you. And if you endure the chastening, now see that word endure? People don't like endurance. The first prophecy that ever came to the prayer center, the very first word, endurance is the key. That's why it's listed here. If you endure the chastening. Let's say it this way. If you endure the training. It was hard. He started upending everything that I started praying in the Holy Ghost and little by little, line upon line, precept upon precept. That guy there who taught all that stuff out of the 80s, one little truth at a time, he began taking away the false and replacing it with the true. Replacing it with the true. It's not hard. It's hard to change. You know? But I'll tell you what, I don't care if my daddy believed it and his daddy believed it and his daddy before him believed it. If it's not the truth, I'm ready to let it go. And I'm still that way today. I still think there's probably stuff I don't understand now. What do y'all think? No, don't answer that. But and I'm sure there's. Dave says, Gary, we can't stop praying the mysteries. He says, we still got a lot of things to understand. He said, God is not withholding revival from us. He is pouring. Well, here's a scary thought. He is pouring through us every second all that he possibly can. He says, there's still things we don't understand. We can't stop praying the mysteries and allow the Holy Spirit to bring us into the fullness of the revival. See? But that's, isn't this sound like a family? What family? He says, what family is it where the father doesn't correct the sons? There is no family like that. There's this teaching going around right now that God doesn't see your faults. That's not a family. I've never heard of a family like that. Have you? You know, now I say, I got three daughters. I didn't have any sons. God knows I'd have probably killed them. But anyway, I don't know. But I had three daughters. I have three daughters. And I love my daughters. None of them are perfect except to me. Okay? But I said, now, you know, I love them. I could tell stories about all the great, cute, and wonderful things. I said, but now, if they'd all chose to become the best bank robbers in Oklahoma's history, they're still my daughters. I still love them. That does not mean I'm very pleased with them. And it also doesn't mean they can't put themselves beyond my reach because they'd be in prison by their choice. I still love them. I still will bless them if I ever get a chance. This is how a family works. You are accepted in the Beloved. You are His lily cakes. He loves you. Dave saved my life. So you got. I'm trying to be. Sue and I try and be very transparent. We don't want you to think we're something that we're not. I mean, the first week I got saved, all kinds of wonderful things happened. That new nature came in. I mean, it's amazing. Alcohol left. Pornography left. Certain kinds of music left our house. All kind. My heart motivations changed. I never was really able to be motivated by money in the same way that I was before. But right on the other hand, everything didn't go. I continued to smoke for eternity in 3 days. I could, and I tried everything. I mean, I knew it wasn't right. I kept trying to quit. I talk about this one time. Everything that came out, you know, I'd try it. Nicotine gum came out. I tried the nicotine gum. Patches come out. I tried the patches. There was this one time that I was chewing nicotine gum. I had a patch on each arm, and I had to pull over for a smoke break. Now that's addicted. And you know, we preached during that time. We traveled and ministered. We saw God heal cancer through nicotine-stained fingers. I saw it. Don't tell me that He, you know, He loved us. He was, you know why He did that? Because He could. We'd let Him. You know? The religious guy down the road that's a three-button suit and Mr. Perfect, he says, God doesn't do miracles today. And we're going, yeah, He does. Okay, I'll use you. That's really how He did it. It's by His grace anyway. But see, He loved me. He never forsook me. Now, right on the other hand, I never started justifying it. Never said it's okay. I never started saying it wasn't sin. It is sin. The addiction part is sin. You understand what I'm saying? Paul says all things are lawful for me, but not all things are expedient. I will meats for the belly and the belly for meats, but I will not be brought under the power of any. That's the problem. When you're addicted to something where it has power over you, that's when it becomes sin. Well, I was obviously addicted. But the point I'm trying to make you, the tutor stayed with me. See, Jesus said about the Holy Spirit, He says, the Spirit of truth, He will never forsake you. He is never going to leave you. He has come to abide with you forever. Dave saved my life with this sentence. I mean, I'd get so, Sue and I would get so convicted. When we first started coming to the prayer center, we both smoked like freight trains. Those Dave services can be long. We couldn't sit through no 2-hour service with worshiping her. So we'd sit as long as we could. And about 20, we'd sit right near the back, you know. And about 20 minutes into it, we'd sashay out the door. Y'all that's been to the prayer center, we'd walk out to that field down that little rise where you couldn't see us. We'd smoke, you know. And on the way back now, you know, Sue didn't want to offend anybody. So she'd always carry that big bottle of Febreze in her purse. We're walking back to the church, and she's right in my ear. Pachui, pachui, pachui. I mean, all up in... I've got Febreze running out my ears. I'm going, Sue, I know they can still smell it. I don't care. Pachui, 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 you know. I think we single-handed kept the Febreze company in business. And we'd come in, and we'd sit for as long as we could. We might make it 30 minutes that time. Down the hill we go again, you know. Pachui, pachui, pachui. Now, the point I'm trying to make, I was His child the whole time. He wanted to make me 3-dip chocolate ice cream cones. I was worshiping Him. Dave saved my life with this sentence. He says, God will walk through hell with you, with your faults. As long as you don't start justifying that, as long as you don't start saying it's not sin when it is sin, And also, as long as you are still pressing into the things and doing the things that will one day spell your freedom, He will walk through hell with you. He knows you're not going to possess the land in a single day. It's stronghold by stronghold by stronghold. You know what? I look back on it now. I can tell what the Holy Spirit attacked first. See, I would have thought, you know, the religion I grew up in, I would have thought smoking would have been the first thing. Do you know He thought greed was worse than smoking? I know. You want to know how I know that? Early on, still driving the trucks. I mean, this is like week one, driving the trucks and praying. When I really started praying, I started having some revelation. Boy, I started writing it down. And then I went a whole shift, 10 hours, and I didn't hear nothing. Then about 5 hours into my next shift, and I'm just praying. I didn't hear nothing. I said, God, I know You're doing something while I'm praying in tongues. I know You don't have to tell me this, but would You mind to tell me what it is You're doing right now while I'm praying in other tongues? Just as clear as You're hearing my voice, instantly I heard, I'm driving the money changers from the temple. And I went, what? And it wasn't until later I got into Matthew's gospel where He came. And see, we are the temple of the living God. We are the temple. And Jesus, He came into the temple. He saw greed. He saw money changers. He saw commerce. He said, my Father's house is supposed to be a house of prayer, and You've made it this den of merchandise, den of thieves. He had to overthrow the money changers and drive them out. And then it says, only when they were gone did He, Jesus, come into the temple. They brought the sick and the lame and the blind, and He healed them. He was telling Gary, I'm looking in your heart, man. I still find a lot of money changers in there. There's lots of greed. If I'm going to take my place, my rightful place in the temple, I got to drive that stuff out of you. And that, the teachings that came over the next months and years, the early things that He taught me, all of it had to do with kingdom finances and driving all of that out. I can't be moved by money now. Try it. We've lived so long now by faith, you know, things will still happen. I got bills to pay. We got employees. We got payroll to make. We got all kinds of stuff. You know the IRS? They want the payroll withholding. They want the payroll. And they plainly know I'm preaching the gospel, and they still want it. And there'll be circumstances come up, and we're going, okay, that's due in 2 days, and this is how much we got. And in the old days, I go, I should be worried. What's wrong with me? I should be worried. I'll try and stay up and not sleep. No. And what's wrong with me? How come I can't? And it dawned on my lightning quick mind. You know, after we've been doing this since 1995, we didn't have a secular paycheck. Our last one was in 1995. After you've seen the Lord deliver you about 10,000 times, even your own soul goes, maybe we can trust Him. Maybe it's going to be okay. But see, that's part of the tutoring. It's part of the training. It's part of the tutoring. So let's come on down just a little more here. For whom the Lord loves, He chastens and scourges every son whom He receives. If you will endure the chastening. Now we call that strongholds. If you pray much in the Holy Ghost, you begin praying in the Holy Ghost, like Dave has taught us so many times, and you know this well. It's like taking a flashlight into your soul, like taking a flashlight into the attic. You pray a lot in the Holy Ghost, all of a sudden that light's going to come on. If you did that in a normal house and you took a bright light, you went up to the attic and you shined that light in there and you saw all that dust, you say, well, look at all the dirt that this light brought. No, the dirt was already there. The Holy Ghost is exposing what has to go. And it's not always easy, is He? You find certain things. Yes, sir, I'm going to go ahead and do this one. One of the early days, early things, early on. Most of you know my life as a country western song. Well, yeah. You know, you've heard that old country western song. My wife run off with my best friend Bob. I sure do miss Bob. Most of you have heard this story. My first wife, Sue's my last wife. I made the mistake of calling her my second wife one time. She said, I am not your second wife. I am your last wife. Yes, ma'am. I schooled. Anyway, I got schooled. This is cool. About lost my train of thought. Oh, anyway. And to be honest with you, this all happened before any of us was saved. This is in those days when I drank a lot. As I look back on it now, I drove her away. Okay? But I did not see it like that then. I did not see it like that. In my mind, this dirty old best friend. And Bob was my best friend. We went to junior high together and everything. Here's my wife run off with my best friend. And his name was really Bob. Well, fast forward quite a few years. Sue and I get saved and we get married. And later on we get saved. And the tutor has come. I start learning to read the Word and spend time in prayer just a little bit. I didn't know then everything I know now about it. But I remember. I was reading through, I can tell you right where it was, Mark 11, 22, 23, 24, 25, where it talks about faith and moving mountains and having what you say, and then the rest of it. And if you forgive those that trespass against you, my Heavenly Father will forgive you, and if you don't, He won't, basically. And I was going, I heard His voice just as clear. The tutor was there. The Holy Ghost was there. And I heard Him say, you know you're going to have to forget, forget them. You know you're going to have to forgive them. Now again, I didn't see it then the way I see it now. In my mind, my wife ran off with my best friend, and oh, how dare they, you know? And I was the fast forward. I'll tell you later on. No, I'll tell you in a minute. I said, I don't want to. He says, you know, you're going to have to forgive them. I said, I don't want to forgive them. He said, not only do I not want to forgive them, I want them to die, and I want to do the killing. I mean, he might as well be honest with God. He knows it anyway. He said, well, you're not going to go very far with me if you don't. Man, we'd gotten saved, really loved the Lord. And I'm going, I want to go on with you, but I'd read it again. You got to forgive them, you know. I said, there's nothing in me that wants to forgive them. I mean, I don't want to. What? All right. But you're not going to go very far with me unless you do. Well, this went on for a while. And finally, he asked me a question. And I always remember this. When God asks you a question, He's not really looking for information. I still remember just as plain. He says, would you be willing to forgive them if I could make you willing? I had to think about that. I'm not willing right now. But if you could make me willing, I guess I would be willing. Okay, that'll work. All right. If you can make me willing, then I would be willing. But I'm not willing right now. So he says, okay, well, I just want to see. I'm doing this because of the tutor. I want you to understand how this works. You talk about a major impasse. This was early. If I hadn't gone through this, we would not be in ministry today. Trust you, right? I'm telling you right now. We would still be there all these years later. He said, so how do I become willing? He says, every time that you even think of them, if you just think of them, I want you to pray for me to bless them. Have you ever tried not to think about something? I'm not going to think about, oh man, I'm thinking about them right now. The first time I did it just like this. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you bless them, and you know I don't mean it. Well, I didn't want to feel like a hypocrite. I knew he knew it. Well, okay, a little while later, I thought of him again. Well, this went on that way for a day or two, you know. I'd pray, Father, that's all I prayed. Father, I pray that you bless them, and you know I don't mean it. But the amazing thing began to happen. Something began to happen in my heart as I would pray that. And I noticed after a couple of days, I got to thinking, well, I don't want anybody to go to hell. Well, all right, I guess you can bless them, and I mean it a little bit. A little bit. I don't want them to go to hell. You don't have to bless them with anything else, but, you know. Continue. Then what began to happen is I would add praying in other tongues. That's when he began to show me my part. Those were the days when I drank a lot. I could, thank God he remembers our sins no more. But he started showing me my part, and all I could stand it, more and then more. In the beginning, I thought they were the evil, wicked people. By the time he got done with me, Bob was the knight in shining armor who came to rescue the fair damsel from the dragon. And I was the dragon. I was not praying for God to bless them. I was asking for God to forgive me before it was all over. And I want you to look. He took all those lemons, all those things. You know, it's not just me. There was stuff on their part too. He took all of that, but because of the forgiveness, I'm sure he worked in them too. Look, Look how he blessed me. Pat and Bob are still together to this day. We live three blocks away from them, and when we're on the road, Pat is the one that primarily takes care of my 91-year-old mother. Took her to a doctor's appointment today while we're here. You know? Isn't that something? How God, he'll take all your lemons and he'll make lemonade out of it for everybody. It's worked out. Man could never have done this. We could never have done this without the love of God. Now, that's just one example. I could give you example after example after example. We could go on and on. But this is how the chastening comes. This is what we call praying, allowing the tutor to come. He knows exactly not just the word. You know, we talk a lot about how he explains the word to you, and he does do that. But it's more than that. You are his child. He is wanting to conform us to the image of his son. Now, he's done that in our spirit. It's that big old bag of laundry we got to work with. It's all that in the soul, the hurt, just like that one. That's more than knowledge. That's hurts, wounds. That's tough stuff. And and what's amazing, me and Sue and Pat and Bob, we can all remember everything. You know, we don't have that capacity to forget like he does. We remember all those events, but you know what he does? Somehow he's able to take all the hurt out of it. There's no hurt. There's no emotion. We go to the movies together. You know, it's amazing. It's God, you know, but he is able to do that. And we could go on with every aspect of your life. So he's trying to get rid of all the dirty laundry, in our spirit, he has already conformed us to the image of Christ. What he's doing now is conforming the rest of us to that image, not walking around as wounded and hurt and put up walls because we got hurt and now nobody else is ever going to come through there. We're walking around like, damn, you know, if we could really see ourselves, we're like buildings that should be condemned. We got all kinds of missing rooms and windows broken out, and we've been beat up, you know, by life. He is in the process of healing all of that beat up stuff, healing the wounds, getting rid of wrong thinking, wrong believing, getting us conformed to the image of Christ, where really love can flow again. He's trying to clear all that trash out of us, where his love can flow through us to a lost and dying world. The tutor has come, and we didn't know how to release him until we heard Dave teach us. He said, how you activate that, the primary way you do it is pray more in other tongues. That all of the message is important. Meditating the word, assimilating the word, worship, all fast. I said it without stuttering. Fasting. But boy, don't leave out praying in other tongues. That is to me, it's still the number one way that releases that tutoring of the Holy Ghost to come and start mentoring you. Okay. We can just take a few more minutes. Look at verse 7. If you endure chastening, isn't this what we want? God will deal with you. Not as though you're a servant. He won't deal with you like he had to deal with Moses. He won't deal with you like he had to deal with David. Although how he dealt with them was wonderful. No, they're not our pattern. How would you like for him to deal with you? Same way he dealt with Jesus. That's Romans 12 faith. We're not servants. Well, we are. But we're a different species. We are in the line of Christ. Christ is your Adam. You are a new creature, a new species. There are potentials in us that we have yet to even hardly fathom. But yet we have a teacher sent from that realm. Did you know? Now, this is a secret. The world doesn't know this. Take up an offering right now before I tell you. Did you know that you're not bound to the physical laws of this planet? Did you know that it's not? I have an engineering degree from Oklahoma State University, and I can tell you right now, it is not physically possible, unless it's frozen, for a human male to walk on H2O. The densities will not work out, trust me. But which is more real, the material world that we live in or the spiritual world that created this material world? As sons of God, as his offspring, we have the privilege of bringing the physics of the spirit realm and imposing them on the physics of this realm. How do you think that healing happens? How do you think that cancer falls off in the floor? How do you think that fish knew to pick up the gold coin and swim right to that spot? This is the kind of faith we're going to start getting into. This we've not dared to think like that because religion kept us over in that camp. We're not in that camp anymore. We're a new species with a better covenant, with better promises. Come tomorrow night if you can. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. It's all your word. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Man, did you get anything out of that? Ooh-wee. My favorite so far tonight. Hallelujah. Just line on line, building up. Let me ask you to take just a moment to pray with us. And you've heard Gary say this so many times, it bears repeating. There's two ways in the New Testament to give. One is hearing, listening and hearing. If you don't hear anything, then the other one is just as you purpose in your own heart. And so I've asked you this week to pray, and possibly you've given what you believe that he's purposed or put in what you heard. If you haven't heard, then I'm asking you to just believe tonight that you'll purpose in your heart. Usually, let me do it this way. Usually Wednesday night is our normal weekly offering time. If God has instructed you to give tonight to Gary Carpenter Ministries, or let me say it like this, anything that's not designated, if you hear God say something to give to the church, then so be it. I would ask you to mark it on the envelope. Just put church on it if you want to give to something, I mean to the church to help us out. That's wonderful. Otherwise, everything undesignated is just going to go to Gary and Sue Carpenter. Praise God. And I want you to bless them exceedingly. Praise the Lord. If you need to do that with one envelope, you can. If you need to do it with two, that's fine. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We love you so much. Thank you for this that you are placing in us for the purpose of building our future. Lord, what is in front of us is the most glorious days on planet Earth. And we give you all the praise and all the glory that you have blessed us. You have chosen, Lord, through your grace, as we have said yes many times to hearing your voice, to bring us step by step to this place in your spirit to hear your word spoken like this. Lord, we love you. We thank you. We praise you. Now, speak to our hearts in this giving time, and we just thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Tomorrow night will be the last night, but I'm going to say we're going to be believing for everything that he wants accomplished to be accomplished. Yes, sir? Okay, wonderful. Just after we allow you to stand, and Marty, if you'll get ready to put something on as worship, we will give you an opportunity for, do you want to announce what, do you hear anything, or do you just want me to? Okay. All right. If you'll bring the offering up, if you have something, then afterwards, we're just going to give a time for ministry. And if you need prayer, and if you do need to leave, that's okay. But if you'd like prayer, then that's going to be available for you. Would you please stand with me tonight? Hallelujah. We've already prayed. If God has spoken to you and you have something prepared, then as we continue to worship, hallelujah.
I want to say, I want to give you an opportunity before you go. Because he ministered on forgiveness tonight, that's a big one. I never could have done it without God's help. What I heard him say, the main reason for calling the line, he says, I'm going to help them forgive. Same way I helped you, I'm going to help them if they want it. So nobody feels like we're looking at you or that you're the only one. Let's all raise our hands just for a moment. Let's all say these words. Say, Father, I want to go all the way with you. For sure, I do not want unforgiveness in my heart. You know that with all that I can, I've already forgiven all I can. But Father, I want to forgive everything. Like you helped Gary, I'm asking you now, help me. I am willing to be made willing to forgive. Help me start. Help me do it. And help me finish. And Lord, when it's through, make me a vessel, clean and pure, through which your love can flow. And I say by faith now, I love my enemies. I love every person that ever hurt me. And I forgive them by faith. In Jesus' name. Now, Lord, make it real in me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 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 Now, some of you is going to have dreams. Some of you, you're going to hear His voice. Some of you, there may be something. Don't go on any fishing trips. The Holy Ghost will bring it up if there's something. But if you have it, if you really can't quite let it go, pray in the Spirit and listen. He'll show you how to do it. You'll know how to do it. It's wonderful to be free. I've been a Christian with unforgiveness. I've been a Christian without it. Without it is so much better. Amen. Hallelujah. The word of the Lord came unto me saying, speak to my servants. Dispatch them to the camps where I shall send them. Empower them now with a fresh anointing by my Spirit, says the Lord. Hallelujah. By my Spirit, says the Lord. Use these more than you've used them in the past. Let my Spirit flow through you, son. Miracles like you've not even seen are rapidly upon you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. We pray healing for the catchers. Hallelujah, Jesus. Get your Bibles out. We're going to start again. Isn't he great? Isn't he wonderful? Man. Yes, amen. That's right. Oh, well, you lost that one. Whoever that one is, you lost it now. She don't give them back. Go ahead, Pastor. I don't know how to quit. I have no quitting sense. I don't know how to stop. Wave that banner. I love it.